Father God, we ask that you speak to us now. Open our hearts to your amazing word. Help us to see things, and may your word examine us, bear our souls before you, and lead us into all truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I'm going to start today by saying something which I think is quite, frankly, shocking. And the shocking thing is what Jesus thinks of us. We can see it clearly in our Bible reading in verse 19 of John chapter 3, and there should be plenty of Bibles around, so do try and get hold of one and turn to page, I think it's about 1066. John chapter 3. Just as you're turning to that, let me remind you of what we saw last week. At the end of chapter 2, we saw Jesus commenting on man's testimony about man, what human beings make of human beings. And what we saw is that humanity thinks it's basically good. We think there's a lot of good in humanity. Of course, there is a lot of good. But we seem to take that and praise ourselves and say, well, of course God should allow us into the kingdom of God because, well, we're jolly nice people. Why wouldn't he accept us? We're good people. Well, let's see what Jesus makes of us in this shocking verse. Verse 19 of John chapter 3. Jesus says, this is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. That's the shock. Jesus thinks our deeds are evil. He thinks we're evil. And this is not the only place in Scripture it says this. Just keep a finger in John chapter 3 and have a look at Matthew 7. Matthew 7 is this wonderful bit of Scripture where we're encouraged to ask good gifts from our Heavenly Father. But there's a killer clause in the middle. So Matthew chapter 7 is on page 971. Have a look at verse 11. Jesus says, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? We can miss that clause, can't we? Though you are evil. It's a bit of a come down. It's a bit of a bummer, isn't it? This is what Jesus makes of us. Well, we're continuing today looking at John chapter 3. It's kind of like part two of well, we're looking right the way through John as a series, but this seems to be like part two of what we saw last week. And we're journeying with Nicodemus. If you remember Nicodemus at the beginning of chapter 3 last week, he was in darkness. And although he comes to Jesus in the middle of the night, John seems to emphasize that to show that Nicodemus is in darkness. But we know that he does travel into the light. And at the end of the gospel, we know he is opening up his tomb for Jesus. So Nicodemus undergoes a transformation. But how is he in darkness? Well, back in verse 2, we saw that he comes to Jesus and he says, look, we know you're a teacher, Jesus, because you're doing these miracles. You're a teacher from God. And it's a good start. But we saw last week how it's inadequate. Because going back to chapter 1, we saw who Jesus really is. And he's not just a teacher. He is the teacher par excellence. He is the prophet that Moses predicted. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He is the King of Israel, the Messiah, the gateway to heaven. Nicodemus has made a step in the right direction, but he's still in the darkness as to who Jesus is, and he's also still in the darkness as to the human state. So that takes us back to a couple of verses before, in the end of John chapter 2. Nicodemus seems to be representing humanity at this point. Jesus is in Jerusalem. Many people saw the miraculous signs he was doing and believed in his name, but somehow that's not enough, says Jesus. He would not entrust himself to them because he knows what's in a human being, and he won't accept human testimony about human beings because basically human beings think we're good. Now, we've always thought that of ourselves, but if we go back and we follow history since the Enlightenment is based on this idea that humanity is only going to get better and better and better. We're going to become better people, more perfect people. And it's a flawed idea, but I think we're still holding on to it. that somehow we're getting more and more moralistic, great new world, all of that. But of course, we just have to look around us to realise that that is not the case. It's very disturbing, I feel. Every time I turn on the news, I get depressed because they're talking about the latest in climate change. We're destroying our planet. We're now killing off all the insects. We're going to kill ourselves. We're hardly capable creatures. Or if we take war, for example. Did you know that... Well, when I do baptism prep, often I might get a comment about Christianity, and somebody say, well, the thing I do find about religion, it's created all these wars. And of course, you have to start explaining, well, yes, people have misused religion as a power game in order to start wars. But did you know that in the 20th century, more people died in the name of atheistic causes than have ever died in wars caused by religion? The 20th century was shocking as we think of some of those wars and the mass exterminations. So humanity is hardly getting better as we try and pop ourselves up. And the worrying thing really is we have to start looking at ourselves as well and realizing that we're included in this. We, as part of humanity, have a significant amount of evil in our hearts. So Jesus says, this is the verdict. Light's come into the world, but people prefer darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. That's shock number one, and it will get better. Don't panic, but we're going to get worse first. Shock number two is that we stand condemned already. Just go back to the previous verse and see what Jesus says there. Whoever believes in Jesus is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. I mean, the context there is basically rejecting the escape route of Jesus, but we'll come to that in a moment. The point is we stand condemned already because of our sin, because of our evil deeds. Our reading started in verse 14, and again, we looked at this briefly last week. That episode of the desert where the people of God have been saved and they rebel against God yet again. So there's judgment. These poisonous snakes come and all these people get snake bite. They're doomed to die. In fact, some of them already start dying. There's no way out. The human beings there cannot save themselves. They're dying of snake bite. And Jesus really saying that is the state of humanity. We have spiritual snake bite. We are unable to save ourselves. And verse 20. Everyone who does evil, which is all of us, hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. This is the other shocking thing. Jesus comes into the light, and people quite like Jesus, but as soon as Jesus starts getting a bit too close and starts shining the light, there's a bit of squirming, isn't there? Why? Because Jesus exposes us for who we are. And our pride doesn't like that. Our pride doesn't want to admit that we're fallen creatures. That we can't get it right. Or we're too ashamed of the deeds we've done to come into the light. So we just like to have a nice little Jesus over there we can control. But we don't like actually coming into the light. Because our deeds are evil. But the point is, unless we truly understand the state of humanity, the good news we're going to come on to isn't good news. It might be mildly interesting news that Jesus comes and dies for our sins, but it's not going to be good news unless we really get to grips with this. We stand condemned already. Without Jesus, because of our deeds, we're doomed to be cast into the outer darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth for all eternity. This is the teaching of the Bible. We're all sinners. We're heading to judgment. We've got spiritual snake bite. But shock number three is that God still loves us, despite all of that. He doesn't want any of us to be condemned, which is why he sent his Son to die in our place. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Going back to verses 14 and 15, the picture of the bronze snake in the desert. All the people have got snake bite. They're going to die, but Moses puts a bronze snake on the pole and lifts it up. And anyone who looks to the snake in faith will be saved from snake bite. And Jesus says, that's a picture of me being raised up on the cross. Anyone who looks to me raised up on the cross in faith will be saved from their sin. Their sin will be wiped away. They'll be cured of spiritual snake bite. And the raising up also points us to Jesus, raised up in heaven from where he sends the Holy Spirit, as we saw last week, so we can be born again. So we have past cleansing of sin, and we can now start living a life with God that pleases him in the power of the Holy Spirit. But the point is, it takes a work of God for this to happen. The last verse of the passage makes that clear. Whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what he has been done through God. Without the Holy Spirit's work in our life, we don't want to come into the light. We're scared. We don't want our deeds to be exposed. But with God working in our life, we can come into the light. We can see the Son of Man lifted up. We can ask for forgiveness, and we can be saved. But I really think we need to understand the bad news before we can see how amazing the love of God is. And just think, when Jesus came into the world, well, just imagine every bad thing you've ever done. Every bad thought. Add it to everybody else's in the room. Add it to everyone else's in Elmswell, in England. In fact, to everyone who's ever lived. Jesus took all of that on himself and took the punishment on himself for all of that, so we could be liberated. Christianity is about freedom. But we need to realize that we're slaves before we can glory in the freedom that Jesus Christ brings. This is a marvelous passage because God loves us despite what we have done, despite the human heart. And he says, if you come to me in faith, if you open up yourself to me, I will bring you into the light, cleanse you, give you a new heart, put my spirit in you, and you will have the kingdom of God and eternal life. I want to just share a little story. It's one of these things. I had this book. I recorded part of this book once because I lent it, and I just had, when you lend a book, sometimes you've got a feeling it's never going to come back. But I thought, well, it's a good book, and this person needs to read it. But it was a long time ago, a book called Free Inside, and it's all about a chap called Jason Richards, who committed murder, and he was sent into prison. And he struggled there. And he first of all says, maybe you're asking, how can people do such tremendously evil things? But we can. We are all capable of it. It's like evil grabs hold of you. So there you see, the evil that is in every person's heart can come out. I suppose it's a little bit easier if you've actually committed murder, because it's obvious you've done something wrong. But we all need to see the darkness inside us. Then he goes on, he says, there was a conflict going on deep down inside. I could see a darkness and a light, like two armies, and I desperately wanted to change, but I couldn't. You see, he was enslaved in the darkness. He wants to go into the light, but he just couldn't. Something was holding him back. Jason got more and more desperate, and he started reading in the prison library. He read Buddhism, he read Islam, didn't do much good, but then he read the New Testament. And he said, the more I read the Bible, the more I became aware of God. And the more I became aware of God, the more I became aware that I was a sinner. I knew I was alienated from God. And eventually Jason called out, God, have mercy on me. And he opened the Bible, started reading the Psalms. When he got to Psalm 50 and 51, he realized he could be forgiven. It was like I was beginning to worship and I didn't know what worship was. I don't know what time I went to bed that night, but I woke up in the morning and the whole world was light. the miracle of rebirth that God can bring. It's the way that God can bring us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Only God can do this. And it's marvelous. So what do? Well, we need to say, Lord, I have done evil. I'm a sinner. But I open up myself to you and I just beg you to change me and to come into my life and help me to have faith in Jesus lifted high on the cross. It's that cry of helplessness that will bring us to eternal life. But we need to also not only pray this for ourselves, and having prayed it maybe years ago, keep remembering it. This is the prayer we need to be doing for Elmswell. Ernest and I and our Saturday prayer group are praying desperately for revival to come back, as it did in East Anglia in 1921. But that will only happen with a miracle from God, helping people to see their spiritual depravity, their need, that they're in darkness, but that light is there. And may Christ draw them into that light. We need to pray for that miracle to happen, for people to come to Jesus, lifted high on the cross, because in him alone do we have our salvation. Let's just take a moment of quiet and pray for ourselves and our community. Lord Jesus Christ, we pray for your Spirit to be in us working. We're still in the darkness, Lord. Bring us into your marvelous light. Help us to see the Son of Man lifted on the cross for us, the Son of God given for me, that I might be set free. And Lord, help us to walk from this day onward in the power of your Holy Spirit. And if we've already done that many years ago, keep us walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. Keep us praying for our own holiness and keep us praying for those around who do not know this. Lord, we don't want anyone to go to the place where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. We want people to be in the light. So we pray for our community of Elmswell. Bring revival, bring an awareness of sin, awareness of salvation in Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen.